I begin with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We ask for his help. We beg for his forgiveness. Our faith and reliance is on him, who is mighty and sublime. And I seek refuge with him from all straying. I openly witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except the one creator, maker, molder of everything that exists, having neither partner nor associate, nothing like unto nor comparable to his being. I further witness that Muhammad, the prayers and peace ever be upon him, of 1450 years ago, the flesh and blood human being, just like every one of us, is the messenger of God and his devoted servant. And honorable people, I greet you with the salutations of peace, the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, which really serves as a reminder that we all have an obligation to be peace seekers. In the biblical text, John and Luke, it is recorded that Christ Jesus, alayhi salam, he greeted his disciples the very same way. And he came into their presence and he said to them, and again this was in the English language, it is written, and he said to his disciples, peace be unto you. Now, if that had been in Arabic, this is what he would have said. He would have simply said, Assalamu alaikum. Last week we had an opportunity to have a brief moment of visitation here at the service, and we had Reverend Richard Allen, who led the service, or did the sermon at least, and he said to the congregation that they must be certain to tell Billy, when he got back off of vacation, that his was the largest audience that they had in Westminster history. So I want you all to make sure that you tell Billy that Brother Ibrahim had the second largest in Westminster history. Now, most of you probably are familiar with our predecessor, Imam Majid Fahim Ali. May his soul rest in peace, and may God grant him forgiveness and a high station in paradise. A very cool, poised, charismatic, scholarly individual. He graduated from Savannah State. I think he was magna cum laude in his class. Top of his class. I was chosen to follow him up. I was a segment in my educational class that made the top look good. So, God has a sense of humor, yes? After I got someone situated in my new task, we had this bright idea that we would have a program. So I started reaching out to some of Imam Majid's associates. I called Father Willoughby. Father Willoughby was on a 4-week sabbatical. So then I reached out to Reverend William Stevens. And his recording said, I'm going to be away for a month. I'm on vacation. Then I reached out to Rabbi Haas. And I believe he was on maternity leave. And I don't know, I mean, the wife was having a baby, but he was on maternity leave. So I said to myself, I need to get some of that. A whole month off. And then I reached out to Billy. And Billy had something like the whole summer off. And I'm saying, man, Billy has got it going on. Billy is the man. I'm just getting started, and I'm thinking I could really use some of that. Because some of these folks that I'm dealing with, it's just wearing me out. So I'm trying to figure out, how does he pull it off? We were on a tree planting, no gun violence ceremony together last fall. And this was about the third time that I had a chance to work with Billy on interfaith type of activities. We exchanged niceties. And the next thing he said to me is, would you preach for me this summer? So that's how I get it done. And I said to myself, I didn't say it to him, I said to myself, I'll do it as long as I don't have to do a solo. I am thankful to the congregation and for Reverend Pastor Billy for the invitation to be here to fellowship with you all and to simply share a few thoughts. I'm further thankful for the opportunity to be here to really just kind of spend some time. Spending time together provides us with an opportunity to get to know each other. And I don't need to tell any of you, but we can certainly use some social ambassadors, community ambassadors, and human ambassadors right about now. And how cool would it be, or how cool is it, when we can sincerely advocate for each other, which means that I can advocate for you and you can advocate for me in each other's absence. How cool would that be? And we do this simply because we realize that we're all just genuinely good people. I'd like to share something with you from my Quran. Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum indallahi attaqakum inna laha alimun kabir. Ms. Purvis, could you translate that for me, please? O mankind, O people, we have created you from a male and a female, and then allowed you to evolve into nations and tribes so that you might get to know each other, become hospitable, and treat each other with respect. The noblest of you, the most honorable of you, in the sight of Almighty God, is he who is best in his conduct. He who is most regardful. If I may, I want to take 30 seconds to share some things with you that may help you understand or know us better. And I think it all comes down to a difference in language. I think language kind of separates us. We're going to make an attempt to take 30 seconds and remove some of those barriers. When you hear me say Allah, That simply means God. If you hear me use the term al-Islam, that simply means to submit my will to do God's will. If you hear me use the word jihad, that simply means that one exerts himself in a struggle towards excellence in every endeavor in his life, everything. If you should hear the word Muslim in our conversation today, it means peacemaker. And when I say inshallah, maybe you hear that? That means if God be willing. Abraham, father of many and a model for all. I want to start off with some territory that we are probably all familiar with, very familiar territory, and then we might go into some uncharted terrain. If I go too far from this podium, I'm in trouble. Get me back over here. My wife has a tendency to tell me, even if you're too philosophical, keep it simple. But my hope is that I will give you something that will help expand your thinking, something that warms your heart, stirs your soul, and ultimately challenges you. In the Genesis, chapter 17, the first verse, conversation is taking place between Abraham and his Lord. And it reads, not verbatim, but generally speaking, this is what it conveyed. I am the Lord thy God. Walk before me and be perfect. I will make my covenant between thee and grant you abundance. I will multiply you exceedingly. This is what God says to Abraham. Abraham fell on his face and talked with God, and God talked with him. My covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. And what happens next? A slight transformation takes place. Abram then becomes Abraham. He had a name change. Now, if there was a choir up here, I'd be preaching to the choir with what I'm about to say. Abraham is the common progenitor of the major faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Al-Islam. But is it possible that Abraham might be the father of some nations outside of the big three? Not everyone in China is classified as a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew. But there's a whole lot of Chinese folks on the planet. Not everyone in India is classified as a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew. But again, there are a whole lot of folk in India. What about the Aboriginal people of Australia? And what about the indigenous people of North and South America that do not fall in the classification of Jew, Christian, or Muslim? We are further told in the Genesis that thy seed will be numbered as the stars in the heaven and the sand on the seashore. Has anyone been able to number the stars? Or do you have any idea how much sand there might be on Tybee Beach? So what does this tell us? Papa was a rolling stone. wherever he laid his hat was his home. In a very good way. Now again, that's just something to think about. When we examine the scriptural revelation of the scriptural history, the Jewish people, they trace their faith through Isaac. The Christian people, they trace their blood faith or their faith line through Isaac. And the Muslim people, they trace their faith line or blood line through Ismail or Ishmael. And what has been the debate for the last 1400 years? Who has the birthright? Who gets the inheritance? How many of you have seen kids, children, same parents, and they have this debate? That, you know, and they say, this is my daddy. And they say, no, it's not your daddy, it's my daddy. So how long has this debate been going on in the faith communities amongst about whose daddy Ibrahim is? I'm going to settle that debate right here, right now, once and for all. When I was born, I was raised Christian Baptist. So that means that I had my claim to Isaac's bloodline. Now that I'm Muslim, I have my claim through Ismail's bloodline. So guess what? I can claim Ibrahim as my daddy from both sides. But the truth is, none of that makes any difference. If we don't follow the example that our father led as a leader, it makes no difference. I can't claim to have a righteous father, but then have the behavior of the biggest mischief makers on the planet. Abraham may have given the seed, which makes him your father, but the behavior that you're patting yourself behind don't look nothing like Ibrahim or Abraham. So we're going to have to do a DNA test. We have a case of mistaken identity. So we do the DNA test, paper come back, and we find out Abraham is not your father. Sounds like, who was that guy that does that? Mormon prophet, yeah. Ibrahim is not your daddy. Again, I share something with you from the Quran. Inna Ibrahim kana umatan kanitan lillahi hanifan walam yakuna minal mushrikeen. Can you translate that for me, sir? It says very generally in English language that Ibrahim was indeed a model, devoutly obedient to Almighty God, upright in his nature, true in faith, and he never associated anything in the worship of his God. The Genesis says, as you mentioned earlier, I am the Lord thy God, walk before me and be perfect. Be perfect in your obedience, perfect in your regardfulness, perfect in your modeling and your example, perfect in your worship. And if you make a mistake, perfect in your repentance and perfect in your intent. And we know that Ibrahim was tried and he was tested. He made a prayer He wanted to have a righteous offspring. And he was given news of a son that would be gentle, forbearing. The apple of his eye. Good manners, respectful, handsome, who loves his mama. And I will share this with you. I don't know of anything that is more tender than a mother's love. So right there is the time that this son of his gets to the point where he becomes somewhat useful. He comes to him and he says to him, I have seen in a vision that I am to sacrifice you. What say you? And the response from his son was, Daddy, just do what you got to do. You will find me, inshallah, God willing, one of patience, perseverance, and steadfastness. And oh my, have the times have changed. As I will share with you, I have one of those. In fact, I have two of them. Two of those boys that are the apple of my eye. You know, well-mannered, respectful, handsome. You know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree, you know? And they love their mama. And I will come to my youngest who lives with me right now, and I said, I need you to do something for me. And in the same gentleness, he said, well, I don't think I feel like doing that right now. You know, boss man. He called me boss man. Well, I don't think, I'm not feeling that right today, boss man. My, have the times have changed. But they both submitted. And he put him down on his forehead, on the altar, and he was about to sacrifice him. And they called out, oh, Ibrahim! You have already fulfilled the vision. I don't need you to sacrifice your son. I just wanted to know if you are willing to do it. I just needed to know if you had the desire to simply do what I asked you to do. If faced with that same scenario, the same exact situation, how would we stack up? If you were given the same exact test, would you pass or would you fail? I don't have to tell you this. Abraham's resume speaks for itself. But dear beloved people, what is your resume going to say? My Ismail is fill in the blank. Your Isaac is fill in the blank. And to please God, would you be willing to sacrifice it? Now, metaphorically speaking, every one of us probably have one or two Isaacs or one or two Ismaels. Are we willing to do as our father Ibrahim was willing to do? Coming up, my grandparents, when I was a young kid, just go to the country, visit my grandmama and granddaddy, and the first thing they do is they take you to church. I didn't want to go to church. But I was a good kid. I did what they asked me to do. But they used to sing a song. And I'm not going to sing, But I'll share with you the lyric of that song. The lyric of that song was, "Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. If it's good enough for Abraham, it's good enough for me." And when my grandparents were singing the song, I will tell you, I knew very little about Abraham. Had no real knowledge of him. But I thought the song was pretty cool. But then I came to know that because he was perfect in his obedience to God, and when it came down to doing God's will, he had zero reservations. He was willing to give up everything. And because of that, he became the father of many and a model for us all. Dear beloved people, let us continue to walk in our Father's footsteps. I greet you as I found you with peace. Assalamu alaikum.